The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.
Welcome to Dueling Reviews. I am Steven Schleicher. Over there is Matthew Peterson, and we are here to go in-depth this week on a comic
book. We like to talk about the comics.
Yes, we do. And this week we are talking about Invincible number 113. I'm wondering, I think Invincible is one of those books that we've reviewed more often than any other books. In fact, we just reviewed Invincible not too long ago.
I think we covered either 111 or 110.
I thought we just did the last issue.
Did we?
I'm pretty sure we did.
So 112, which means sometime in the last 3 to 6 months.
Yeah, it was last month, because this is actually a fairly good release of Invincible in the last couple of weeks.
I wonder if they saved them all up because of the connected issue of the story.
We did Invincible 112 exactly on June 25th, 2014, so 2 months ago. Mm-hmm. We'll say a month ago. Because we're close enough to the end of the month and the beginning of a new month. So within the last 5 weeks, we've taken a look at Invincible 112. Last time on Invincible 112, we're in Invincible.
Last time on Invincible.
Robot decided that the best way to achieve peace is to place himself in a dictatorial position and kill all those that oppose him, including ripping off Adam Eve's leg and jeopardizing the fate of their unborn child.
Indeed. And the thing that's really interesting about it is they have laid groundwork for Robot to lose his mind, because he spent 500 years in an alternate dimension where he apparently took over an entire world and lived as a benevolent dictator for several centuries.
Along with his companion, Monster Girl, which apparently she's not in with this new plan. To do that on Earth, because he shoved her out into space last issue.
He jettisoned her out the airlock to die in the void of space. Yep.
Fortunately, there are the Viltrumites living out in space on the dark side of the moon.
On the dark side of the moon.
And one of them comes and saves Monster Girl.
Yes. The same one who assaulted Mark.
Yeah, sexually assaulted Mark. Yeah, she runs into him in the hallway and is pretty happy to see him. Meanwhile, it's going to be a little weird. It's really going to be weird, and it's going to be something that plays out pretty soon, sooner than later, I'm going to guess, because Mark and Adam Eve have had a baby girl, and Adam Eve wants to get back with Mark, and Mark wants to be with her, but I think at some point this thing with the other Viltrumite is going to become a problem, especially for Adam Eve. So it looks like Adam Eve has lost her leg completely.
Yes, and notice she already has a robot leg.
Yes.
And that's something that I do like. They have set a precedent of lose a limb, get a robot limb.
Mm-hmm.
Who was the Viltrumite who had like the three robot limbs and a missing eye?
Yeah, that guy. Yeah, he was the, I want to say like, he was the equivalent of Doomsday.
Yeah,
he was
just a big jerk.
Yeah.
Was his name Thrag?
No, maybe? I don't think so. Maybe, I don't know. It doesn't sound right. I thought his name started with an O, but maybe not. But
Henry.
That's probably what it was. And he gave up a leg and he got an eyepiece in return, and it's like his wife gave up her eye specs and got a cane. I don't know how that works.
I'm almost certain his name was Thrag. Thrag is the guy who looks like Freddie Mercury.
Yes, that's their main overlord guy.
Well, that guy was...
Because Mark's father, Nolan, is the leader of the Viltrumites right now.
Omni-Man.
Yep. And so Robot is running around the planet doing everything at once. He's trying to wipe out heroes. He's trying to set up meetings with heads of state, trying to get his factory all in order. Yep. There's some pretty gruesome moments.
There are. And I think that, to me, is part of the problem. Mm-hmm. This is a problem that I have with Savage Dragon on occasion. Power levels in Savage Dragon are wild.
You still read Savage Dragon?
Off and on, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Savage Dragon is one of those things, it's like cigarettes in college. I quit a lot,
trying to get their PhDs.
Then I'd pop back and I'd have one more cigarette. But Savage Dragon has this thing where power levels are wildly divergent, and the only thing you can count on is that the dragon is the strongest person in the world.
Yeah.
The thing...
Uh-oh. Right at that key moment where knowledge was about to be applied, Matthew was dropped from the internet. No, Matthew, come back. Can you hear me? Thunderstorm, knock you out. Thunderstorm, knock you out. Hailstorm, knock you out.
There's a chance that we're delayed.
Your mama said knock you out.
My mama?
Your mama.
Don't be talking about my mama.
So,
yes.
So you were talking about a thing, and power levels at 9,000. Power level 9,000. 9,000?
Exactly. And it gets to a point where suddenly, if a character, let's look at the Immortal. The Immortal is essentially Superman if he was Abraham Lincoln, for all intents and purposes. And he has been through terrible fights and had his brain knocked off and, was murdered and then came back. But in this issue, Robot is all of a sudden the most powerful thing around. And I think that, frustratingly for me, we're supposed to read this as a deus ex machina of he's creating the most powerful bodies ever, and he's using them to take out anybody who would oppose him.
Right.
But what it feels like is the writer decided he needed to be stronger than these guys, and so he totally is.
Well, and because the robot that we see is a much different design than what we've seen in the past. This one's definitely bulkier. Yep. This one's definitely ready to kick some butt. And we see him doing that. He's able to take down most of the heroes. He doesn't take down, Captain Victory or whatever his name is.
Britt.
Yeah, he's not able to take him down.
And I love the fact that Britt actually uses his invulnerable child as a weapon. Yeah. And as much as I hate that moment, I also love it because it's that perfect moment of a superhero being incredibly clever, knowing that his kid can't be hurt.
Right.
And using the kid as a missile.
Right.
It makes sense. And it's really interesting to see that balance against Mark and Eve having their new baby.
Yeah.
And Britt using his kid to murder a robot.
Well, I like the both. Each time that that Mark and Eve get to be with their kid, they're like, oh, your life is going to be so screwed up. That's the first thing that they say to the kid.
They both say that, which is nice. That's, that is something that you say to a child. We do mess up our children.
Yeah.
We all mess them up. And I think the best you can do is hope that your damage will be in some way a positive, crippling sort of thing.
So here's the thing. Robot is up there talking with the Viltrumites, talking about damage. And he's like, look, if you guys want to fight me, I'll fight you. But I'm going to take out a bunch of you. And I think you all know that. So here's the deal. Instate me as the ruler of the earth, and you guys can quietly rebuild your species. Because if I kill more of you, your gene pool is going to be wiped out even further. And they're considering it.
Yes, and that's actually one of the first moments in this robot rampage. Cambot, pan left, that I really enjoyed, that I feel like has gone beyond just the cliche of, hero goes bad and starts beating up his friends.
Right.
In a lot of ways, the thing about Invincible is Invincible can take stories to their logical extreme. When Hal Jordan flipped out and started attacking the Justice League, we knew that Hal Jordan was not going to vaporize Barry Allen. We knew that Hal Jordan was not going to annihilate Batman. You don't know that in Invincible. And as this story has proven, even if you think you know that, all of a sudden you can end up with, you know, Cecil, who's been a member of the supporting cast for 100 issues now.
Yeah.
By the way, spoiler, Cecil croaks. Cecil gets his brains beat up.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Pretty much everybody that you know has gone through some trauma in this.
And I think to some degree what they're doing is maybe thinning out the supporting cast.
Well, they're certainly,
you look and you see, you know, which guys are getting their moment in the sun, and it's all the guys that Kirkman loves. Best Tiger had his moment. Britt had his moment.
Best Tiger, the one that got his arm ripped off?
No, that's the Immortal. Best Tiger is the one who's basically Batman. He's Batman from China.
Ah.
So he speaks in kind of an exaggerated, you know, take a candle.
Oh, okay.
But he's a really fun character. If you read Invincible Universe, he's the one character in that book who isn't a neurotic mess. But if you look at this, to some degree, I think it may be a question of changing the playing field. What is it? The magma guy, Doc Seismic, or
I don't know what his name
doesn't
is.
He gets ripped in half on panel.
Yeah.
After being set up as a new big villain a few issues ago, which I'm hoping there's more to it than just we set him up as a villain and now he's here being ripped to pieces.
Well, at the end, basically Adam Eve tells Mark to go out and fight and kick butt and win the day, which could cause some problems. And I think you and I both kind of made some comment about this week on the Major Spoiler Staff Picks that it seems like Kirkman is caught in a loop.
Yeah.
Because what's going to happen is Mark's going to get beat to a bloody pulp. It's going to look like the bad guy wins. Then Mark's going to find his inner strength and convince his father or whoever else to come back. And he's going to go in and he's going to kick Robot butt, and Robot will be gone, or Robot will disappear into another dimension. And then there will be some drama, and then some other big bad will step in and the pattern will repeat itself. Yeah. And I have a feeling, just an odd feeling, and maybe it's taken me 113 issues of Invincible to finally admit to it, that Kirkman falls into the exact same pattern again and again and again with all of his stories. The Walking Dead has that same problem where they find Utopia, Rick screws it up, or somebody screws it up. They have to run
somebody
and find another
Utopia. Everybody dies. They go on the run. We focus on Rick. Then he rebuilds the people and new people come in.
Yeah.
And then it all falls apart.
And that's kind of what's happening here. I mean, everything was fine and then Robot took over and then everything's going to crap. And then, you know, it's I don't know. It just seems very cyclical. And one can argue very much so that every superhero story does this exact same thing. It's like Batman is always getting defeated by the Joker in issue 3. And then by issue 5, he comes back. In issue 6, the Joker is escaped or put away or whatever until he comes out to fight another day. And so it seems like cape and tight stories constantly fall into this cycle.
Yes.
And I don't like that cycle.
But I think there's more than one cycle to be had as part of the thing that you're looking at. And when you're having a story, let's say, we'll use the example of Savage Dragon.
Sure.
Savage Dragon has plot points that come up, but it really feels like Kirkman has gotten into a cycle of we're going to tell this, we're going to tell this, we're going to tell this. Oh, it ends the same way.
Yeah.
And if you look at this book, we are looking at in issue 113 with threads of story that date back to before issue 100.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, issue 100 is more than a year ago at this point, and that's the point where most of this has happened. The death thing, you know, or the death toll, Robot's giant rampage has been going on for a good, what, 5 issues now?
I think he just went crazy last issue or 2 issues ago.
No, he went crazy in like 109.
Oh, okay.
But even so, there's a lot of it feels like even when this book is on a monthly status, which it has been lately, it feels like there's long breaks in the story, which is kind of, and I don't necessarily know that it's a weakness of Kirkman, but it's definitely a storytelling thing that you'll see, like that moment where Brian Bendis in the middle of an issue will have two pages of just headshots with character after character after character saying one pithy thing. And then you can go, ooh, Nighthawk. And then you move on.
Right.
It's, you know, it's a thing that they do. It's part of their vernacular when they're writing. And I think to some degree it's harming my enjoyment of Invincible. I don't know if it's harming Invincible. This may be the most amazing, badass Invincible story ever told.
Could be.
I just want to know why so many of these heroes are only fighting the robot and not fighting the squishy guy who controls the robots.
Probably because they can't get to him because there are so many other robots around.
I suppose.
That would be my guess.
But there's got to be somebody who could just, I mean, send in Best Tiger and shoot Rex in the head.
Maybe. Didn't he jump in and then jump out not too long ago? Didn't he come in like through the ceiling and was like, I don't think I can handle this. And then he skipped out.
Then he skipped out. Well, he was in the middle of this and he knew that he was outpaced.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm waiting for a new Guardians of the Globe or something to form, which, again, is another thing that we see over and over.
Has robot become the equivalent of Brainiac?
Maybe. I think robot does one thing that we haven't really seen before. The use of the multiple drones on multiple levels.
Mm-hmm.
That is kind of a neat extension of the I have a robot body thing.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that's what Kirkman really excels at, is taking something like, oh yeah, this guy, his dad is an alien superhero, right? But there are so many twists and turns in this whole thing that you know, hey, Mark is interesting because his dad's an alien superhero who isn't here to protect the Earth, but to colonize it. You know, it's his planet. It's not a planet that he adopted. It's a planet that he feels like he owns.
Right.
That's a nice twist on that Superman archetype that we haven't seen before. And that's, you know, I think that's maybe what it is. It may be something that I'm not disappointed so much in Kirkman getting into this cycle where I feel like we know where it's going next.
Mm-hmm.
It's that this book has been so good at subverting some of these, you know, ongoing cliches of comic books.
Well, let me pose this. Mm-hmm. Maybe it is time for Invincible to come to an end. Maybe it's time. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've seen the tropes play out. We've seen things happen. Maybe it's time that in the next, I don't know, by the time you hit issue 150 or something, and the girl is like a week old at that point. At that point, you start pulling out from her eye and she starts retelling the story of her father, a la, you know, Kevin Arnold from Wonder Years.
And you just, with a little help from the Viltrumite Empire, they live in the shadows.
And you just kind of leave it with, and my father continued the good fight. And he grew up, and he grew old, and eventually he died, and, you know, troubles and battles and whatever.
He grew an awesome mustache like my grandfather.
Yeah, and then it just ends, because as much as I like Invincible, and it's one of the few books that I have been following since I discovered it, and I really, really enjoy it, but I think it's getting to the point where we have seen, you know, a couple of issues, a couple of months go by without an issue. Now, granted, that's not been the case with these two. But, you know, right. Months go by without an issue, and then it pops in, and then it pops out, and then it seems to be starting to repeat some of the same stories again. Maybe it's time you get this kid, you know, finally opens her eyes or is old enough to talk or something, and then that's the end of the series.
Could be.
The fact that we've got a kid here now means that we're going to have, and I'm not saying this is a bad thing, but we're actually going to see 2 years of Mark and Eve being parents. And this kid growing up. And that's something that we don't really get to see in other comic books because, for whatever reason, the West family bounces off into an alternate universe and we never know what happens to the family. Or, you know, you kill Damien. Or, you know, any number of... what happened to Chris... what was his name? Chris L. or whatever? From Superman? He got shot back into the Phantom Zone.
And we Chris never heard, Kent.
Chris Kent. That's what it was. He got shot back into the Phantom Zone. You know, maybe there's some interesting stories to tell from the parental aspect of being the parents of a kid. But we've already seen that from Omni-Man's perspective. We've already seen what it's like to be the child of, you know, we've already seen the family unit work in this book.
I'm really worried that they're going to continue using Eve and the child basically as plot points to get Mark to act.
Well, the good thing is now that she's had the kid, she can use her powers again. And she does do that at the end. And that was the whole point why she couldn't use her powers, is because it would have harmed the baby. So I don't know. I mean, I enjoyed this issue. The art is good as always. It's not as gory as we've seen in issues past, which is nice. You know, the story is solid, but I just fear that it's starting to lose a lot of steam. And the longer that it continues, the more steam is going to be let go. And I'd rather see everything go out on a high note than drag it out to the point where people are like, please just cancel this already. Which, you know, going back to Savage Dragon, a lot of people have said that a time or two. Please just cancel this already.
Well, and that's the thing of a creator-owned book. I mean, comic books as an entity, you know, creator-owned comic books are weird in that a lot of them are still driven by the things that have created the corporate comics of Marvel and DC. And one of those things is they don't have endings.
Yeah.
You know, comic books don't end. They just fade away and get rebooted. So when I look at Invincible ending, it might be interesting to have it get a solid ending or get rebooted as something different, or The Adventures of Best Tiger.
I just don't want to. I mean, that's fine if they want to do Guardians of the Galaxy or whatever it is. Defenders of the Globe. Guardians of the Globe. I don't care if a series like that continues, but I think that you need to have a good, solid Wonder Years moment where Mark's daughter is retelling that, hey, this is what my father did and how wonderful he was. And then he died peacefully in his sleep from a heart attack because he opened the furniture store.
Because I killed him. And I am now claiming this planet is my planet.
And she's got a mustache.
I am one quarter Viltrumite and this is my mustache. I think Viltrumites turn evil because of the mustache.
Probably. You notice that the females are, you know, not too... Well, no, they're pretty evil, too. I take that back.
Yeah, and they have mustaches.
Do they?
You just can't see them.
Okay, they're invisible. Invisible mustaches. No. I don't know. I like this book. If you're an Invincible fan, you definitely want to pick it up to see what happens next. Obviously, the birth of the baby, the first appearance of the baby, which doesn't have a name. What do you think the kid's name's going to be?
Their last name is Grayson, so let's say Richard.
You think they'd do that? Well, no. She's a girl.
Devin. That's what it is.
What if it was Stephanie?
Jean.
Ooh, Jean would be Jean good. Barbara. Grace. So what about Barbara? They could do Barbara. They could do Stephanie. Barbara.
You do any number of things. I mean, who dot you? Oh, Cecilia. They'll name her for Cecil.
Or Helena. Oh, yeah, they could do Cecil. Yeah.
Cecil was murdered, see?
I'm trying to just think of some Batman tropey things, you know, like a Barbara or a Helena or a Helena and or Helena.
Spongo,
yes. That should be the child's name, because that won't be a problem when the kid goes to school.
Well, you know what? They said it multiple times in this issue. They're going to screw up her life one way or the other.
Might as well start it off right with a screwed up name for this kid.
Exactly.
All right, so we were not here last week. Matthew was feeling under the weather.
And over a barrel.
You were over a barrel?
And across the universe.
Really?
No, I'm just going through all of my, what do you call those things?
Ways that you use the bathroom?
Over, under, down, through, what are those? Oh. Those are thingamiss.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know from English.
Okay. Well, we're sorry that we didn't get to do a full dueling review of the Shadow over Innsmouth. I did do a review of that over at Major Spoilers podcast that was released this week. You can go check that out on the Major Spoilers podcast network master feed. You can find that on iTunes. You can find that in the RSS feed over at majorspoilers.com. Coming up next week, we have Dark Horse Comics, Abe Sapien, number 15. Blackout, number 4. Dark Ages, number 1. Ghost, number 7. The Guns of Shadow Valley. I have no idea what that is. That's a hardcover. I think it has Clint Eastwood and John Wayne teaming up to deliver a bunch of shadows to a nun at...
that's what it is, yeah.
At a little monastery.
We brought you some shadows, Missy.
I just wanted mules. I just wanted mules. Lobster Johnson gets Lobster number 5. Star Wars really? Number 20. Yeah, is Lobster Johnson Get the Lobster. Yeah, I don't know that one. I'd have to look and see if that's been monthly as well.
I don't think it has. Maybe it's a bi-monthly book.
You know, was it last week on this show where we were talking? No, it must have been one of the other shows where I was talking about how we're going to get to the point with this Comixology release that companies are going to just plop down, you know, the full 12 issues all at once and let people grab it.
Yeah.
And there've been a couple
of people, Netflix model.
Yeah, and a couple of other people have piped up and said, you know, you're probably right that we're getting close to that. And one person pointed out to Kevin Spacey's speech that he gave, I want to say back in February, something like that, when he was talking about House of Cards and how releasing it all at once is really the best way because people consume it when they want to consume it and how they want to consume it, and Hollywood and everybody else better get on board. It'd be interesting to see how the comic book industry would react if one publisher decided to do that. Well, I shouldn't say that because Japan does that already.
Yeah, they do that a lot. But Japan is also kind of a different thing because many of the things that work in Japanese comics and manga don't work in America.
Yeah.
Like anthologies and massive porn. Books and weekly comics. No, tentacle porn works perfectly fine. In fact, that's probably one of the things that, you know, would have no problem translating.
You think?
Yes, American audiences are pervs, dude. Seriously.
Really? I can't imagine that.
Have you ever read adult previews?
No, because because my
have you read the inner folds of Naked Chicks with Wings Monthly Heavy Metal?
No,
holy moly!
See, we don't have regular comic book type stuff, and we certainly don't. I don't know. I don't know if our Hastings it's got an adult section. I'd never have walked over there because you can get all your porn online these days. I don't know if they even have adult comics over there. They probably don't. But my comic book guy. Refuses to deal with anything adult in the house.
Probably
and since he runs
plan.
The business out of his house, he doesn't send out the adult previews. He doesn't deal with in any of that stuff. So, and that's okay because some of that stuff, quite frankly, is pretty disturbing, even for me. Yeah.
Well.
Hey, everybody's got their kink, whatever, as long as people are being safe and not getting hurt, I guess. DC Comics has Adventure of Superman number 14. Wait a minute.
Adventures of Superman.
So we've got Astro City number 14, Adventures of Superman number 14.
Astro City!
But
Astro
next
City!
Week, where did this come from? Next week launches the 34th week of the new 52.
Yep.
And I don't know. Some of the talk that I'm hearing about what's coming up in some of these transitional moves has me wondering if they won't do something big in another 15 issues or so when they hit 52.
Reboot the reboot?
Maybe. That would be weird. Or whenever this Batman Eternal thing finishes up. Or the, what is the other weekly that they have going on? They've got a couple of them.
Superman Unchained.
New 52 Futures In number 15 comes out.
Oh, I'm having trouble with that book.
I have, to
I
be
try.
Honest... That's the one with that's the one with Batman coming from the future, right? And he
screwed
something up.
Yeah, that's the one that's set 5 years in the future of the DCU.
Yeah.
And he screwed up the universe, and now he's dealing with future people, and Mr. Terrific is a heavy player, and Red Robin, and there are quite a few characters in play, but Green Arrow is dead.
I just, for some reason, as big as a DC fan I have been all these years, all the years that you have known me, Matthew...
1500 years.
I cannot remember the last time I actually sat down and read a DC comic just to read a DC comic. No, I take that back. It was probably about 2 months ago, about June, when I sat down and I said, well, I'm going to try to read this Batman Eternal. So it was about the third or fourth issue in. I was like, let me try to sit down and read these four issues of Batman Eternal. I just can't get into it. And I know people are going to go back and say, but Steven, you said the new 52 was going to be awesome. Yeah, and it was awesome at the beginning, but then it just kind of fell apart. I haven't even been reading Batman.
We may not be the target anymore.
Yeah.
We may not be the audience they want.
As much as I like Dee Snider and Greg Fitzsimmons over there on Batman, I haven't been even reading that series.
I'm pretty sure Dee Snider is the lead singer of Twisted Sister. Do you mean Scott Snyder?
Yes.
Okay.
Constantine number 17 comes out next week. Green Lantern Corps number 34.
Constantine. I have taught you well.
Are you going to watch that series on NBC? You've seen an extended preview of it.
I'm gonna give it a chance. I'm gonna give Flash a chance, and I'm gonna give one other show, and I can't remember what it is.
Is it Arrow?
A chance. No.
I'm trying to give Arrow a chance. I'm up to episode. Is it seven or eight right now? It's right after the Huntress arc in the first season, and I'm still kind of holding on. But once it goes into the whole who's sleeping with who and everybody's sleeping with each other, I'm just like, I don't care. Let me see some bad guys getting beat up by the good guys.
The thing about Arrow that's throwing me is they keep saying, and this guy's in it, and this guy's in it, and this guy's in it. And I'm like, but I don't like any of those guys.
Well, they've been pretty good at bringing in some interesting characters. I mean, we've seen Huntress, and this is everything that's coming that I've seen so far. We've seen Huntress. We've seen we've got Merlin in there. Yeah. We've got Kelly
Merlin,
Wu.
Played by Captain Jack.
Yeah, exactly. We've got Cheshire. Is that her name? Is that the one that's the poison? Is she the one that does everything
of poison? Sheshwan.
No. What's the Green Arrow villain that uses that's got everything poisoned?
Like Cheshire.
Okay. So it's got her in there.
She's the one who had a baby with Speedy.
Yeah. Which in this Arrow universe would be kind of weird.
I hear Speedy's a girl.
We've got Dinah Lance. Yeah. I don't
Black
know.
Black Canary.
Well, we don't know yet. I mean, I don't know yet. But, you know, in this upcoming season, we've got the Atom. We've got Wildcat. We've got Manhunter. We've got Ra's al Ghul.
Manhunter might bring me in.
Yeah.
Manhunter was good stuff.
Well, especially if it is the real Manhunter, you know, the one that the Earth Manhunter, not the Space Manhunter. That was the precursor to the Green Lantern Corps.
Right.
And not Martian Manhunter, because that was already done over in Smallville.
I believe the Manhunter they're doing is Paul Kirk, who was the fourth Manhunter. He was actually not Paul Kirk, Mark Shaw, who was created by Kirby in 1970-something.
Let me look it up here.
And Mark Shaw was actually scouted by an ancient underground race like the Illuminati or something. Well, but they have the Manhunter.
The female Manhunter. What's her name? The most recent.
Oh, gosh. I can't even remember now.
Remember that series?
I do. I love
that
series.
The sales started to slump, and then everybody's like, bring it back. And then they brought it back.
Bring it back.
And the sales slumped.
She was a lawyer.
Yeah, she was a lawyer, too. That's what Mark Shaw is in this series in season three. He's a disillusioned public defender.
Part of Mark Shaw's gimmickry. The thing about that Manhunter was that she had all of her gimmicks secondhand.
Yeah, she was the daughter of the previous Manhunter, I thought.
No? No,
man,
I don't
think
so.
Man, if only there were a hero history on Manhunter.
Of Manhunter!
New 52, wow. Futures End number 15 comes out. Smallville Season 11 Chaos number 1. They've also got Superboy and Superman Wonder Woman and World's Finest all coming out.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
I haven't even read Mad Magazine in like 20 years.
It's actually good. What they do is they make fun of things in pop culture.
Mad Magazine
using clever names.
529 comes out next week.
Wow.
IDW Publishing has Doberman number 2. Or maybe it's Doberman.
No, it's Doberman.
It's Doberman.
The Pincher.
Doberman. Doberman. Tonight on Doberman. Attorney at Law.
Last week on Doberman.
Godzilla Cataclysm
You're
number 1.
You're out of order. You're out of order.
Everybody's out of order.
Godzilla versus Captain Crunch?
That's kind of cool. Judge Dredd Anderson Psy Division number 1. That one should be interesting.
Not that kind of Psy?
No, not that kind of Psy. Like PSI, Pounds Per Square Inch Division.
Oh, right. Right. They keep your tires elevated.
Exactly. Max Maximized, number 10. My Little Pony Friendship is Magic, number 22. Squidder, number 1. That's a second printing, which is pretty fast because Squidder, number 1 just came out. No, that was Squidder, number 2 came out this week, I think.
So that would be Squidder, number 3.
Yeah. X-Files, season 10, number 15 comes out. Over at Image Comics, they have Death Visual, number 2. Genius, number 2. Ghosted, number 12. Red City, number 3. Shudder, number 5. Sex Criminals, number 7. Thief of Thieves, number 23.
We could review Sex Criminals, number 7.
Yeah, sure. Let's put that down. Walking Dead 130 comes out. Wicked and the Divine number 2 second printing comes out. Witchblade 172, that's a Valentine's special cover.
But it's
$9.99. August. It's $9.99.
But it's August.
I don't think that book's been on a regular release either.
It's as far from Valentine's Day
as one can get. It's as close to as the next Valentine's Day as it was from the last Valentine's Day.
Valid point. I will give you that.
Marvel Comics All New X-Men number 30. I'd be funny if it was halfway in between the two Valentines. Amazing X-Men number 10. All New X-Men number 10. Or 30. Amazing Spider-Man number 5. Sin.
Spider-Man. Is that the Spider-Man? No. Is that the Amazing X-Men that features Ultimate Spider-Man?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Captain America number 23, Deadpool number 33. That's also an original Sin tie-in.
I wonder what Deadpool's original Sin is.
That he ate too many chimichangas one night.
That's clearly.
Deadpool.
Clearly chimichanga.
Deadpool Dracula's Gauntlet number 6. Now, that's a print version of the Marvel Now series. Fantastic Four number 8, which is a Sin tie-in. Hulk 5, Inhuman number 3, Animaniman. Nightcrawler number 5, Nova Special number 1. Wow, why would they be coming out with a Nova Special number 1?
Well, Nova's got a monthly book.
Huh, I wonder. Why would they suddenly announce a Howard the Duck omnibus? Why would they have a Rocket Raccoon and an Amazing Star-Lord series all going on right now?
Was Nova in the movie?
No.
Then shut up.
No, but it wouldn't surprise me if they were starting to tie something in.
It wouldn't surprise me if Nova shows up in the next movie.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
James Gunn has actually said that he's working on writing the film and that more. I think he said specifically that at least one more Guardian from the comics would be showing up.
Yeah. So Adam Warlock.
Yeah, Adam Warlock.
Wouldn't
or
that be
Nova.
Too weird? Would you have to do Doctor Strange before you did Adam Warlock?
No, because Adam Warlock's magic can be explained as just alien technology. I mean, you can literally go in and Adam Warlock can be like, oh, and everybody will like alien technology.
Yeah, but
and
that's,
you'll just
I
not.
Mean, we saw, what was it, the Eye of Agamemnon or whatever that is.
Agamotto.
Yeah. We saw that in the first Thor movie. It's hidden away in the vault. On Paradise Island. So again, it could also be the same thing.
I don't know that that's the case.
All right, well, we'll see. I just wish they would announce it. You know, Marvel announced. What do they got here? What do we got here? DC drops 9 new dates. Oh, where did my story go? Hold on. Let me find
no idea what they're going to put out, but by God, yes. This is when it's coming out.
Here it is. You know what? They have created a 9-part series called Untitled DC Film. The first untitled DC film lands August 5th, 2016. Part 2, June 23rd, 2017. November 17th of 2017. March 23rd, 2018. July 27th of 2018. November 16th of 2018. April 5th of 2019. June 4th of 2019. April 3rd, 2020. June 19th of 2020. And November 20th of 2020. Nikki Fink, of course, is still saying that we're going to see Justice League, obviously. Shazam, Sandman, Wonder Woman, Flash and the Green Lantern, Man of Steel 2, Metal Men, and Suicide Squad. And there's supposed to be one of these dates is, Sandman. Yeah, one of these dates is definitely Sandman. I think it's the November 17th, 2017 is the one that people have been talking about with Sandman. Now, Marvel has a schedule, too. They have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 movies coming up. Avengers Age of Ultron on May 1st of 2015, July 17th of 2015, Ant-Man, May 6th of 2016, Captain America 3. That's why today Warner Brothers backed off. They blinked. I can't believe they blinked. They decided to move Batman versus Superman Dawn of Justice move it up earlier to March 25th, 2016, mm-hmm. Which is interesting.
Makes sense, though.
It does, but March
you're
is
trying
that,
to build
I know, but March is that
your,
weird
your own brand.
I know, that's but March true. Is that weird time where you're just coming out of the doldrums of February and January, which are horrible months for movies. And there have been some real stinkers that have come out in March. I mean, this year there was hardly anything that was worthwhile in March. I looked at the 20 movies that came out, an average Rotten Tomatoes score of 41 for those movies. Whoa. So here is WB saying, let's drop this big, really their last ditch effort right at the end of March. Now, they could have done April. I mean, Captain America 2 came out in April, and it was a great success. And really, it's basically within 5 days of the Captain America release.
Right.
But it's also right at the end of spring break for most people. And so one thought is, oh, hey, kids are going to be out of school. They can go see Batman versus Superman and go see it again and again and again and again. But it also means all the bro dudes and all the are going to be on vacation. And they're not going to be wanting to see Batman versus Superman.
We need to come back from the beach in time to go see Batman versus Superman, dude.
Oh, way, man.
Well, I got the Axe body spray. If you could go and get, because my dad owns the dealership. If you could go and get like some Otter Pops, because dude bros love Otter Pops, man.
Yeah, bro. Let's go do that. We'll go see you watch Batman versus Superman. Yeah, up high, brother.
Like, Semper Fi. Wait, no, that's not a.
So I don't
Sigma
know.
Cut.
I don't know. I'm putting together a chart right now that looks at superhero movies since 2000. All the superhero movies that have come out since 2000. And I'm charting their release date and the amount of money they've made or lost, and then seeing if there's anything that can come out of that, and also their Rotten Tomatoes score, to see if there's some way that you can run a predictor. Now, I'm not saying that this is always 100% perfect, because, you know, February is the worst month for movies to come out, and this year the Lego Movie came out, and it blew the box office away and was in theaters for six weeks, right? As a big hit. Now, just imagine if at the end of March – Batman versus Superman comes out, and it's a hit for 6 weeks. That takes you all the way to Memorial Day.
That's true.
And I think that's what Warner Brothers is hoping for. But again, they're going to, and if you look at next year, there are no Marvel movies before May. Well, not next year. I'm sorry. 2016. May 6, 2016 is Captain America 3.
Right.
July 8th is Doctor Strange. In 2017, on May 5th, they have the untitled Marvel film.
Oh, I love that one.
I know.
I have all the issues of untitled Marvel.
Mm-hmm. July 28th.
There's that one that involves the superhero.
July 28th of 2017 is Guardians of the Galaxy 2. November 3rd is another untitled Marvel film. May 4th of 2018.
Oh, man, a sequel that quick?
That's what I'm saying. DC's done it. Marvel's doing the same thing. May 4th, 2018 is untitled Marvel film. July 6th, untitled Marvel film. In 2018, November 2nd, untitled Marvel film. And May 3rd, 2019, untitled Marvel film.
Who votes that they should put out a monthly book called Untitled Marvel Film?
That would be funny if they just did it.
Get that sucker out there.
What's that crazy week where they let the interns write books?
Assistant Editor's Week. Editor's Month. Yeah, that's back in 86.
They should do that, where they should just have Untitled Marvel comic and make that their fifth week event coming up before too long.
We'll create a super team featuring Howard the Duck, the Armadillo, the Texas Twister, I don't know, Bob Phantom. Wait, no, that's a DC character. Bob Phantom.
I don't know. I'm gonna put this chart
Galactus's
together.
And Galactus' daughter.
I'm going to put this chart together, and we'll see what happens out of it. I don't know if there will be any major revelations or not. Probably not. It'll probably come as no surprise that movies released in June and July make the most money. But I think the Rotten Tomato, comparing that to the Rotten Tomatoes score, may be a better indicator. So we'll see.
We'll see.
Making money
is not necessarily an indicator.
No,
of quality.
No, and that's why I want to compare that to the Rotten Tomatoes score, because that would be your review score that says whether the movie is generally considered good or generally considered bad.
Okay.
Also coming out next week, we've got Archie Funhouse Digest 7, Crossed Badlands number 58. Dinosaurs Hardcover Volume 3, Jurassic Smarts, Doodle Jump number 3, God is Dead number 18, Heart of the Beast Hardcover 20th Anniversary Edition.
Did you just say Doodle Jump?
That's right. Issue number 3.
Oh. Doodle Jump. Who's that from?
I don't know, but I can probably do this and find out really quick. It is, Doodle Jump at the App Store.
Doodle Jump.
It's one of those game tie-ins. So it's probably, who the hell?
Yeah.
It's one of those game tie-ins. So maybe Paper Cuts,
IDW has a lot of those, don't they?
No. Dynamite launches Doodle Jump comics based on the game. So there you go.
Doodle Jump. It's about... Oh, wow, I may have to find out. Doodle Jump is cool because it's about this guy who is clearly not Qbert because he's green.
Yeah.
And he jumps.
That's the one.
Doodles.
That is the one.
Duty Jump was taken.
Mega Lex hardcover. Man, we have spent more time talking about other crap in this show than we have talking about the comic book. Sheena number 3, Scott Pilgrim color hardcover volume 5. SpongeBob comics, The Devilers. Let's see what else. Unity number 10, Vamplets Nightmare Nursery hardcover book 2, Warlord of Mars trade paperback, Exo Manowar, all those comics and more coming out next week. We will be taking a look at Dirty Naughty Comics. And see what happens. See what happens when people have the big O and stop time. But until then, you're just going to have to make sure time keeps on ticking into the future till we're all able to sit here once again in the future.
Time won't let me.
Time has passed me by. Yeah. Time is on my side.
Okay. Time. See what's become of Steven and me in 1 week. The next episode. Of Julie Review.
See you, everybody.
Major Spoilers is copyright 2014.
What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer terms apply.